Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the E2G Sports Network, home of the unsung sports grid. Visit us at E2GSports.com and follow us across the socials for up-to-the-minute sports news. This podcast is the property of E2G Sports, LLC. Now, it's time for the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Going Old School podcast. Chicks, Crow, and Joe here for you, live on blogtalkradio.com. It is Wednesday, January 19th of the year 2022. If you want to join us in the next 90 minutes or so, got a lot to talk about, obviously, at 516-387-1702. Once again, 516-387-1702, a part of the E2G Sports Network. We are the unsung sports grid, and we'll talk more about that after. But let's bring in my co-hosts who join me every week, and I thank them plenty for that. Let's start with John Crow. John, how are you today, man? Thanks for your time, buddy.
I'm good. Happy Wednesday to you both.
Yeah, babe. Smack dab on hump day. Joe Perrin joined us as well via the hotline. What's up, Joseph?
Johnny, what day is it? What day is it today?
How are we doing, Hump day. Hump day. We got a lot to talk about. So we got a jam-packed. We got some games we're going to recap because we haven't talked since the quote-unquote super wild card weekend, which didn't turn out so super. And we can get into that after. We'll talk about the upcoming division round action as well. Obviously, news around the league. Casario has said in Houston that he doesn't think that Watson will play for the Cardinals. Mike Mayock ousted in Las Vegas. Looks like they may be after a couple of Patriot coaches. Lots to talk about here, but we're going to get started with our opening thoughts. And we're going to segue into the debacle in Buffalo this weekend. For New England Patriot region and fans alike, so we'll get into that. But, Joe, let's start us off. Got some opening thoughts for us today? You want to get something off your chest?
Yeah, the continuation of Tuukka Rask, because you played a heavy team, the Carolina Hurricanes, and we don't play well against heavy teams, and teams got to step out of the locker room and step onto the ice because they left Tuukka Rask fending for himself, and you Tuukka haters are, like, coming out of the woodworks. Knock it off. It's only his second game back. You had nobody in front of him. He's not Mr. Perfect. He'll be fine. But you kind of need to play in front of him and play as a team in front of him. This team's got a long way to go to get where they need to go. Stop blaming Tuukka. There's a lot of other holes in this team.
Joe, 1-3 inches of snow coming our way tomorrow and overnight tonight. What a better time to talk a little baseball. And shame on everybody involved. We're sitting here January 19th, and since the lockout in early December, the players and the owners have had one lousy sit-down together to get an agreement, a new CBA done. Folks, spring training ain't starting on time this year. Spring training games aren't starting on time this year. And opening day is probably not going to start on time this year. Shame on all of them, because a billion-dollar industry of millionaires and billionaires can't figure out how to spend the wealth. Shame, yeah. Folks.
Agree, because I love, and just to kind of piggyback off of you, JC, I love when the Super Bowl is over, that starts baseball season for me, and unfortunately, that's not going to be the case this year. And that's a little disenchanting. You made a good point. Billion-dollar owners, big industry, and a bad commissioner who really has to go. I mean, he has to go because somebody's got to corral these guys and do this for the good of the game. And they talked about how they want to improve the game, improve ratings, and target a younger audience. You do stuff like this consecutive years. I mean, actually, 2 out of 3 years. You're not going to get anyone. You're going to lose the fan base you have, and you're not going to gain anyone. It's just logical sense. It baffles me. I want to pound their heads against the wall, get in a room, figure something out, someone grab someone else by the nads, and have the balls to just camera themselves, and don't leave the room until you do, like a juror. Just don't. I agree with you totally, JC. It's disheartening for the one major sport that I truly love, I mean, more than the others. Having said that, my opening take is also going to be on the Bruins, Joe, but this is not on the ice. This is the retirement of one Willie O'Ree's number 22 jersey last night. 63 years, to the day after his debut with the Boston Bruins. He broke the color barrier, and I'm ashamed to say that I didn't even know who this guy was. But now I do, and I've read up on him. 45 games only for Boston. He was part of two seasons in the NHL, but spent 21 years in professional hockey. He's a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame. What he's done off the ice in hockey organizations as of the like the NHL Hockey for Everyone program, helping some 120,000 children. He was named the NHL's Diversity Ambassador in 1998. I'm glad I know this guy now, and I hope the world knows him and recognizes what this guy did and what he did off the ice. But kudos to Willie O'Ree. Kudos to the Bruins. It was well done. It was emotional. The family, you could see the emotion at the players. It was just a really nicely done and well-deserved ceremony for someone who really deserved it. And quite frankly, it's about time. So having said that, congratulations. That's all good. Anyway, again, the Going Old School Show. He's Joel Ferrand, John Crow, and yours truly, Johnny Sanchez. Again, if you want to join us, it's 516-387-1702. But, guys, let's start off with football because that's the main focus, divisional weekend coming up. But, JC, I'm going to start with you on what unfolded in Buffalo and what your thoughts were coming in, going into the game, coming out of them, and we can get into what lies ahead. But just the game itself, JC, what did you take away?
Yeah, I mean, not much of a game. And, you know, all three of us weren't confident on the Pats' chances going into Buffalo. And unfortunately, after the first 8 minutes of the game, they made our worries justified. You know, I just don't understand what happened to this team after the bye, after that huge Monday night win in Buffalo. It just all went to hell. And, you know, now there's rumors about Matthew Judon and his injured ribs, and maybe that's the problem that he disappeared for the last month. But you just look at this team, and, you know, they just kind of all kind of checked out, you know, right from the coaches right down to the players, you know. And, you know, the only thing that, you know, I believe Belichick in that you have to look at everything because – you felt so good about this team, and it just leaves a really, really bad taste in your mouth. You know, losing 47-17 and just getting utterly dominated by Josh Allen and crew, who did everything they wanted to do against that Patriots defense. And, you know, we kind of felt good going into the offseason. We don't feel as good now, and there's lots of holes to fill, and – you know, I just didn't get it. And we always look at Belichick and his coaching staff as ones who make adjustments. And it looked like the last 4 weeks, they didn't make any, you know, including the very, very thing that you look at first in a game, the coin toss. Your defense, we talked about it last week. Your defense has been in shambles the last 4 weeks, you know, minus Jacksonville. But that doesn't count. And you could have had an opportunity to jump on instead of getting jumped on, and they didn't do it. Defer. Defer to what? By that point, it's been gone the last month, and unfortunately, it was done again. And unfortunately, the two bright spots were, you know, Mac Jones and Kendrick Bourne, but it was far too late. Mm-hmm. Far too late. But now let's see what they do in the offseason.
Go ahead, Joseph. Your floor is yours.
I'm with you on that one, JC. It's like, you know, they just didn't have it. Didn't seem the defense was giving up cold. But, you know, they made a good point today. They were talking. The football heads were talking. And it's like, in fact, if Mac Jones will get there, he's just not there yet. The offense isn't there because the offense couldn't keep up with him. Couldn't keep up. Couldn't score. I mean, the last guy to burn us and toast that bad was Flacco with the Ravens, but we won that game because we were able to score more points. Granted, we had a couple of trick plays up our sleeve that day and a couple of, you know, somebody else threw a touchdown pass besides Brady that day, but we just, something happened in that bye week and it'll all come out in the wash eventually because either the team gave up on their coaches on the defensive side, but something happened and it was ugly, ugly, embarrassing. Say what you want. It's like there's a lot of soul searching that's going to have to be going on during the off season, and we'll go from there. But look, it's only year two of a rebuild. They moved forward this year. Let's see if they can move forward next year. It's not going to be as easy to do, but time to move forward and find out what went wrong, try to correct some issues, and try to improve next year.
My biggest takeaway, as I'm watching the game, and certainly as it unfolded, and it wasn't even as close as the score indicated, that was as bad a defeat as I've seen a Bill Belichick coach team that I can remember since he's been here. Maybe with, I don't know what happened his first year, 5-11, but since they started, since the Super Bowl year, I haven't seen a total domination like this. But my first reaction was, guys, and I think it might be a silver lining to that dark cloud, is that you really realize coming out of that game how far behind you are the Buffalo Bills right now. You are a long ways away from competing with them. And not only this past game, but the game before that. The Buffalo Bill team 41 days earlier was written off. We're talking about how they're broken and Josh Allen and McDermott, we're actually questioning his longevity with this football team. But they laced it up, and that may have been the best thing that happened to them, losing to you the way they did. And they've beaten you 4 out of the last 5. And the division now is owned by the Buffalo Bills, and the Patriots are no longer the hunted. They are one of the hunters. And, oh, by the way, the Miami Dolphins did you a big favor by ousting Brian Flores, and you've lost 3 out of the last 4 to our Miami team. So what it did, the good news is, Patriot fans, you realize how far behind you are again with this Buffalo Bill team. And give credit to Buffalo. And if all you need to do is hear I guess Micah Hyde was, I heard it this afternoon, Micah Hyde was mic'd up on the sideline, and he talked about the end of a dynasty in the Patriots. So the team was well aware of what was going on, and they just wanted to put an end to it. But that's my biggest takeaway just after the game, that there's a huge gap between the teams. JC.
I don't know if Micah Hyde has been, you know, watching football the last 2 years, you know, outside of playing it, but that dynasty was done about 2.5 years ago while Brady was still here, still collecting his paycheck in 2019. That's when the dynasty ended. Dynasty didn't end last Saturday night in Buffalo. You know, I mean, hey, you want to celebrate? You want to play We Are the Champions after a wild card victory? Hey, go for it, Bills Mafia. Kansas City's going to punk your ass this week. So, you know, it's perspective, you know? It's all about perspective, being in the moment. This is kind of how we thought the 2021 season was going to happen, didn't we, at the beginning? That Buffalo would win the AFC East again. They would be one of the top 5 teams in the league. And the moment that they went down to Jacksonville and lost their moxie, lost their way midseason, that's when they came back to earth and they gave the Patriots a chance. Patriots played up. Buffalo Bills played down, and that's where they met in the middle for a little while. All they did was go back and be who they were supposed to be all season. I don't think they can beat the Chiefs this weekend in Kansas City. Do I think they can be competitive? Absolutely. Will they have a shot in the fourth quarter? Of course. But I still think there's even another level, because let's be honest, the Bills and the Patriots as currently constituted is just a bad matchup. It's why they've won 3 out of the last 4 games.
Yep.
Josh Allen is a nightmare against a Patriots team, a defense that is a little bit older, a lot slower at linebacker. They don't have the guys that are going side to side. And until Bill gets out of that mentality, this is what you got to see, because Josh Allen, rightfully so, has a chip on his shoulder about the New England Patriots. And he knows that right now, hey, he's daddy, you know, as Pedro would say, he's dead. So it'll be interesting to see where they go and what Bill does to move away from being stuck in the mud, if you will, with this defense right now, because they do look slow. And, you know, let's see what they do, and let's see where we are next season with these two, Micah Hyde.
Joe, let me ask you a question. Joe, guys, do you want to respond to that? Because I want to ask you both the question. Go ahead, Joe. I didn't know you had a response.
Look, they crossed this slow. They were the oldest team 3 years ago. They've gotten a little bit younger, but they still got a long way to go. And, look, I'd rather get my butt handed to me than be a close game like Dallas and know that you got a long way to go. There's many holes to fill, but you've got to fill them, and it's like one at a time. You made step forward progress this year. You need to make more progress next year and keep on going. But to me, it was like, you know, this is a blowout of the worst blowout of the Patriot history since, oh, wait, the Super Bowl against the Bears. So, no, yeah. Reality check. It's reality check time. You made the playoffs. You made the dance. But you got a long way to go. Yes, Bills are better. But, hey, Bills Mafia, Bills, let's see how good of a coach you have to not live in the moment. This behind you. Let's see what you can do moving forward. Let's see how good of a coach they've got. If they can put the Bills, this Patriot burial behind them and stop beating their chest long enough to realize they have a game this weekend against the Chiefs. So it's like, don't get too high on a win. Don't get too low on a loss. That's just Bill's mentality, and we'll go from there.
Oh, Charlie, let me ask you both this. And here's what bothered me going into the game, because, you know, I love football. I follow the Patriots. They're not my favorite team. But, John, you and I have been in the business. When you have the talking heads coming out last week before the game, up until Friday, talking about waiting for the shoe to drop with Josh Allen, he's going to do the Buffalo Bills, they're going to cough it up. Have we not learned that this Bills team is legit? Now, that's what bothered me going into the game. The lack of respect that, just as a football player, Josh Allen's a hell of a quarterback, but to go into last weekend's game and the guys in the afternoon show in 98.5 were talking about how the Bills are going to puke on themselves, Josh Allen's going to make a mistake. What, you know, I mean, they haven't learned anything, and that's what bothered me going into that game. And Patriot fans and I know are still refuse to give Josh Allen credit. Can we now put him in the elite category status? Because right now the Bills own your ass. TC, that's what bothered me last week.
Yeah, I mean, obviously anybody who was waiting for Josh Allen to pee down his leg just wasn't paying attention. After the bad first half in Tampa, from that point forward, he put the Bills on his back and said, listen, get behind me. I will run it. I will throw it. I will make good decisions, and we will win. And that's what they did. That's what they did. I mean, give him all the credit in the world, because the one thing and the knock on him in the first 2 years was that he makes poor decisions. Well, guess what? He doesn't make those poor decisions anymore. He's growing up a little bit. Imagine that. We all knocked Peyton Manning his first year, most interceptions by a rookie. Then he got smart.
Yep.
He figured it out. The light is on with Josh Allen. The light will go on with Mac Jones. He does the same thing rookie year. You try to play out the play before it's there. You know? And so he'll get there. But Josh Allen, absolutely top five quarterback. And that's what makes this weekend such a marvelous weekend, the divisional weekend. These are the top four, you know, top four games of eight teams. This is who you wanted to see in this round. So let's get to it. It's going to be fascinating. I'll play that.
Joe.
You know me. I'm a diehard Patriot fan. I get it. It's like, but give credit what credit is due. Bills did crush us. Look, they've put to rest and they put to bed the fact that, like, the crown has changed here. The throne now is belongs to the Bills. 2 years in a row,
yeah,
it belongs to the Bills. They've taken it over. 5 years in the making. This is 5 years. The kid has grown. Josh Allen's grown. They've got him a top flight receiver in Diggs. They've got him pieces to work with, Knox, as far as tight end goes. They've got pieces of the puzzle, and they kept on putting it together. Look, for Buffalo Bills fans' sake, the culmination would be getting to the Super Bowl and winning. I'd like to see it happen because, look, as a Red Sox fan, I get the pain and agony of being so close but yet not getting it all. It would be great for them if they won the whole thing. Only time will tell. They've got to get by the Chiefs this weekend.
JC, obviously, Greg Bedard is a really good source, and I couldn't help hearing yesterday on the Belgrim Mass Show, but he made some really good points. He pointed out the fact that when the Patriots are 3-4, Belichick took control of the defense and was seen with them a lot more
after that. And we know what the defense did, and they won 7 straight, right? They were 2-4. Were they 2-4 or something? They won 7 straight anyway. But
yep, 2-4.
There were rumors, and he thinks, yeah. So, and there's this stuff out there talking about, okay, after that happened, he gave the mantle, or he gave the scepter back to Steve Belichick. And we all saw what this defense has done the past 5 weeks. They are a shadow of themselves. Matthew Dunn notwithstanding, I mean, obviously there's reports of a rib injury, but he just wasn't himself. But the defensive unit on a whole was really, really porous. Do you buy into any of that, coaching staff? Because you're looking at, I'm not even taking last year, JC, 2019, and this year, 2021, teams that prided themselves on winning in December and January didn't get it done those years. And that's a glaring, glaring problem with the coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, if the reports by Bedard and others are true, that Belichick eased off on what he was doing with the defense, then shame on him. He always loves to tout, I always do what's best for the team. You win 7 games, and then you say, okay, well, you guys figure it out going into, you know, late December. That just doesn't seem like a coach that is doing what's best for the team. And, you know, it's always been the question, you know, now with the 2 sons on the staff. Does he do what's best for the team? Or does he do what's best and what's comfortable so that he can see, you know, spend time with his kid? You know,
yeah.
I just wish that we've heard a lot of players talk about how Bill has adjusted in some, you know, some of the facets of how he handles players, you know, behind the scenes and how he adjusts to the modern day athlete. I would love to see if Bill would just get rid of this ridiculous notion that he can't give anybody a title, he can't give anybody a salary, because
right.
He's going to mess with how people look at his organization, and people will know who's doing what. Who cares? Give your guys some confidence. Let us know. Because if it's confusing for us, imagine how it must be for a player if he doesn't know where he's going. If he doesn't know the chain of command, if it's, well, do I go to Bill or do I go to Steve? Do I go to Mayo? Do I go to whoever is left? It's like, it just doesn't make any sense for a guy who is supposed to be a genius. But as you pointed out, Chips, 3 straight years where this team has not played well in December. That's on Bill.
That's 3 straight years. That's 6-13 in the last 3 years in December.
Mm-hmm.
6-13. That includes the Tom years. So 2 things could happen here. Mayo could go walk into another team and take the McCourties of the world and the Hightowers of the world who are loyal to Mayo and let Steve Belichick or bring Matt Patricia down to the sidelines and Bill tell his kid, hey, look, listen to him. Watch what he does. Pay attention and learn from him and go from there, because that might be the best thing to happen. Because if Mayo stays, you're still going to have that dissension possibly in that locker room of guys that are loyal to Mayo, guys that aren't loyal to Steve or loyal to Steve. So you could have the whole team drinking the Kool-Aid if you want that defense to play as one. Right now there seems to be a divide of who's loyal to who, and you know, it may be, you know, the guys that have been there while they played with Mayo may not want to listen to Steve or may not want to go by what Steve says. So it may be a blessing in disguise if Mayo leaves. I don't like to see that, but if Mayo leaves, then it leaves Steve. And the best bet would be to let Patricia help him out and guide the way and get him to learn the ways, because players seem to tune Steve out. They just tuned him out to a big time. The last 4 weeks, it can't happen. You gotta be on the same page. And I'm with you, JC. Come on, just give these guys titles already. Why? It's like, you know, that's why Pepper Johnson left, because Pepper Johnson got tired of getting looked over, got tired of, like, being left and not brought up and gotten a better title. So guys have left, coaches have left because of that fact, where they don't get promoted. I mean, that's what you're in the business for, as coaches, to get promoted and eventually get a head coaching job. So some ways, Bill's thoughts have to change a little bit. He has to change his ways. Even though he's 70, it's like it's not old school football anymore. There's a new school and there's new players. Sometimes you got to change. He may have to.
One question before we recap last week's events with our thoughts. JC, I'll start with you. Obviously, at 9-4, they were number one in the conference some 6 weeks ago. Was the Patriots season a success or not, JC?
Yeah, absolutely. Because look where we were last year at this time. We had no idea who was going to be at quarterback. You had no weapons offensively. And your defense was a sham of what it used to be. And, yes, I know December made us feel very badly about this defense. But for the majority of the season, they were number one scoring defense. So the pieces are there. And most importantly, you have your quarterback for the next 4 to 10 years if you play your cards mm-hmm. right. And that's what's most important. Now you have to go, and I know you don't have a lot of cap room. You only got $21 million. But there are things you can do to get more cap space and get more money. There are trades to be made, all that stuff. You need to go get Mac Jones, a number one stud receiver, someone he can get his hooks into and know they're going to fight for the ball. And, yes, I'm pointing straight at you, Nelson Aguilar, because you not catching that ball or at least trying to high point that ball to at least keep it out of Micah Hyde's hands. It was a huge turning point of that first offensive drive for the Patriots. Nelson Aguilar mm-hmm. is a nice 2 or 3. He's not a number one. Kendrick Bourne's more of a number one than Nelson Aguilar is. But they got a bunch of 2s and 3s. They need a number one. They need to somehow work with Jonnu Smith, because he's not going anyplace, to be someone like he was in Tennessee, to be a factor. Not be a guy who plays 22 snaps in a playoff game when you're making $15 million. That can't happen. So there's a lot of work to be done, but, hey, as disappointed as I was in December, I'm fine. It's a success.
Go ahead, Joseph.
John, I would consider it a success only because, look, you went 10-7. Look, most, you know, I was questioned by one co-host of mine of how we're going to get to 9 wins. Never mind getting 10 wins. So we got 10 wins a year. Granted, how it got there and how it ended is not pleasant, and it wasn't good. But if you look at overall growth of this team, you moved forward. Now you need to add pieces to the puzzle. Hopefully you draft well enough to get more pieces to that puzzle, and you grow from here. So to me, it was a success.
I agree. And, hey, guys, thanks for putting clarity on it, too, because we tend to get caught up in the emotion when a team, you know, your expectations start at the beginning of the year, but sometimes they're raised, developed, depending on the play. And a lot of people, and we heard it here, guys, it was like, you know, even some of the ESPN guys, or oh my God, the Patriots were in the running to go to a Super Bowl at 9-4, but you guys provided some real good expectations and a real good clarity and a real good thing in us. I really appreciate that. Because I was the one who didn't think they would get to 9 wins. Believe me, I didn't. I didn't. And I was wrong. Joe, you're totally right. But we're going to take a 30-second break. Yeah, here you are, man. Hey, dude, I'm taking to the victory goes the spoils, baby. But 30 seconds, we're going to come back, kind of give a little thought on the recap of last weekend's games. And we'll go through, scroll through that, and right into this weekend's divisional matchup before we talk some wrestling in the classroom with Joe Crow. And you're listening to the Old School Show with all three of us, including Johnny Sumpkins. We'll be back in 30 seconds afterwards.
Hey, Boston. This is Sean Thornton. I might not be suiting up in the black and gold anymore, but my fight for Parkinson's and cancer research, advocacy, and support is still going strong. Through my foundation, I continue to be a protector for those in need and give back to a community that's given so much to me. Please consider joining my team and visiting thorntonfoundation.org or e2gsports.com for more information on getting involved, making a donation, and joining the fight.
This message supports the Boston Children's Hospital and the American Parkinson's Disease Association.
Welcome back to the Going Old School Show. Chips, Crow, and Joe here for you on blogtalkradio.com. You got the Unsung Sports Grid, part of the E2G Sports Network.
the January 19th, 2022. And I'd be remiss if I didn't wish my son, Austin, a happy 23rd birthday. Austin, happy 23rd. Can't wait to celebrate with you on Friday. Happy birthday, my son. So I had to get that out. But if you want to, yeah, thanks, man. And if you want to join, thanks, baby. 516-387-1702 is the number you can reach us to talk a little football. But guys, let's go through that in what was a super wild card weekend, allegedly. I'm going to bring up the games. Give us your one thought, and then we'll go move on down the page to the games. We already covered the Patriots game and that whitewashing they took at the hands of the Bills. But the Cincinnati Bengals got off a 30-year schneid, JC, 26-19 over the Las Vegas Raiders. Give us a takeaway, if you will.
The NFL still hates the Raiders.
Go ahead, Jack.
No, my take on the game. Why isn't Bill Cowell fired from the network? Oh wait, he blamed the NFL for not. I'll call no, but you can't blow a whistle in the middle of a play. Sorry, guys, and you can't cover it up. But kudos to the Cincinnati Bengals getting off the schneid. Last time was Boomer Esiason. Now it's Joe Burrow. Good job.
I agree, JC. The Raiders have not won a playoff game since the 2002 AFC Championship, 19 straight seasons, third longest winless playoff drought. But we all know what today is. Today is the anniversary of the Tuck Rule game, I believe. So
it is.
Divine intervention that day. Yeah, what'd you say?
It is.
Yeah, it is. It is. But kudos to the Cincinnati Bengals. I'll tell you one thing they have to do. A bad red zone team in the Raiders, they can't get into the red zone against a Titan team and come away with field goals. That has to change. We'll get into our predictions later, but kudos to the Bengals. Let's move on to the next pair. The Buccaneers. And can someone please tell me why the Philadelphia team that just was happy to get there. Boy, the New Orleans Saints would have given a lot more of a fight in that game, GAC. That's my biggest takeaway. The Eagles with a boring offense should have involved Devontae Smith, the 100-yard receiver, a little earlier, 100-yard reception leader, or a little earlier than they did, but kudos to Brady. It's enough to add to his legacy, JC. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, and same kind of mentality, too, as the Patriots. You know, you win a toss. Go get the ball. Try to get ahead of Tom Brady at home. Be a little aggressive. Don't sit back and play the, oh, we're going to defer and get two scores at the half. But by that point, it's over. And Devontae Smith was Mr. Invisible because Sirianni didn't have any plays for him. It's just,
yep.
It boggles the mind, you know, what that team came out with. And you're right. It looked like they were just happy to be there. And it, you know, we look back and we say, you know, well, teams haven't beaten anybody in the regular season. And Philly beat nobody. Nobody.
Yep.
Zero wins against playoff teams and against, you know, quality teams throughout the year, and they proved it why. As we see it, 7 seeds in 2 years, 0-4. 0-4. I know we're never going to go backwards. We're probably going to add 2 more playoff teams in the next couple of years, which will make it even worse. But that just proves, I mean, there aren't enough good quality teams, and you give Tom Brady anything, and, you know, he was lackadaisical on those first 2 drives, just throwing it. And then he got on everybody's ass and said, hey, let's go. And look, went away. They went, whoop. And now they're hosting the Rams this week. So, bye-bye, Eagles.
Good job. Yeah.
Some foolish co-host here thought that the Eagles might pull an upset. Oh, well, you got to show up first to try to get the upset. So, good job, Tom. You're in the next round. Let's see if Matthew Stafford can do something against you this week. But, no, hey, kudos to the Tampa Bay Bucks. You got things done. You you beat a team, and now you go on to the next week.
Yeah, we'll get into that, too. And I'll just say one thing. Tristan Wirfs and Jensen, the center, did not practice today. So that's going to be a big, big dime. I mean, you got to hope they're in if you're TB12. Because he'd rush up the middle that the Rams could bring. We'll get into that. But, yeah, TB12 just adds to his legacy, loses his weapons, but just goes out there and wins and scores 30 points again. The best game of the weekend, our most competitive, I love this game. And it came from all different angles. The Niners went into Dallas
and won 23-17. JC, your thoughts on that? Because a lot happened in that game, baby.
They say you take the personality of your head coach. Well, Dallas Cowboys absolutely did. Mike McCarthy is as undisciplined a head coach as you can find in the National Football League. And 14 penalties and a botched 32 seconds at the end of that game that could have given them a chance to win that game, but they just don't mentally have it. And it's just, oh, Mike McCarthy. I mean, if I'm Jerry Jones, I'm sorry. He's gone. He's gone. He's gone. And I know him and Steven
yep.
already said that that's not what they want to do, but that guy is not taking that team any place because he just doesn't have it. I mean, you look at it. They were passive for a lot of that first half. You know, they finally get into it. They had the fake punt. And what do? You keep the punt team on there, on the field? For what reason? There is no reason. And you get a delay of game penalty because you don't know what you're doing? Like, who are you trying to fool? It's first down. Oh, and then that final drive, you know, as much as it's on Dak to not get down with 10 seconds left because he knows he has to get the ball to the official and all that stuff, good coaches, Kellen Moore, in Dak's ear, has to remind him up to the 15-second
yep.
mark, get down by 10 seconds. Get down. That's all he needs to say to him. Remind him. Because, yes, there's a lot going through Dak's head, but you have to be able to slow it down and know what you need to do. And they didn't, and that's why they're sitting home this week.
Go ahead,
Joe. I guess the Dallas Cowboys got to read the book of football rules for dummies because Dak needs to know that he has to give that ball to the official. Two, as a defensive lineman, you can't tackle an offensive lineman. As a defensive lineman, you can't try to rip the helmet off an offensive lineman and not expect a penalty. Penalty after penalty after penalty.
Yeah.
Just undisciplined football at its best. You gave opportunity after opportunity to the 49ers, where Jimmy G tried to basically hand you that game, and
yep.
said, nah, we don't want it. You can have it more. It's just undisciplined. I'm with JC. Undisciplined at its best.
Hey, can
yeah,
I
Jimmy
say something
G,
about the 49ers?
Go right ahead, Beth.
Kudos to Kyle Shanahan, because he was staring at the face of another playoff demise. Big lead. Going down, is it really going to happen to him again? That gutsy call, I'll tell you. If the Deebo Samuel reverse,
yep.
Kudos to him for having the balls to run that play. And you know what? They still got the ball back, but, man, big ones on Kyle. And that's gonna bode well because that shows a lot of faith in your team right there.
No question. That'll have a carryover effect as well. And I like what San Francisco's done. And you know, you talk about the Cowboys. Prescott is underwhelming to me. And just that one play told me a lot about his mental status. And maybe more about the team. Maybe it's a country club atmosphere. And he just kind of show up. I wonder what their practices are like. They're probably golf carting it in like they did in Pete Carroll's days. But be that as it may, I mean, you made a good point, JC. You got to fire McCarthy, and you have your head coach on your staff, Dan Quinn. And I've been reading stuff out of Dallas. The players really like Dan Quinn, and they responded well when that game you was the head coach while McCarthy was out with COVID. So Kellen Moore's stock plummeted. You're going to fire McCarthy. Do it soon. Hire Dan Quinn. You got him on your staff already. I love Randy Gregory. He had a really tough day. And, again, he's got such a great year. But credit a gritty, physical team in the Niners. George Kittle's had 9 receptions in 4 games, and they're not talking about it. Talk about a team that's all in. He had 1 catch for 8 yards. They get downfield and block. There's something going on with this Niner team. We get the Jimmy G factor because they win more than they lose it to men. But this is a team that can really go into Green Bay and make some hay. We'll get into that later, but that game, the talk is about Dallas, but give credit. You made a point, JC, about that one play that Shanahan called. But Deebo Samuel, you need to account for him on the field whenever he's there. He is that much of a weapon, that much of a stud. I like the game plan. That Niner team is aggressive, and they look really poised to do to give fits to Green Bay this weekend. So kudos to them as well. Kansas City 42, Pittsburgh 21. Chiefs are asleep a little bit, but in the span of 11 minutes, 5 touchdown passes later, Patrick Mahomes got it done and put this game away. They regained a little form. Your thoughts, JC, coming out of this? Big Ben's career is over. And where do they go from here? But thoughts coming out of that game?
Yeah, I mean, big thank you from NBC to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs for, you know, kind of sleepwalking through that first quarter because it kept people entertained. But once they got engaged and they got things going, you know, that thing was a freight train, you know. But, hey, Big Ben, at least he fought back in the fourth quarter. They kept it going to the end. And I don't like the guy personally for all the stuff that he's done. But as a football player, you got to give him his day. You know, he's one of those, you know, top-tier quarterbacks. But, you know, onward and upward for the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend.
Yeah, look, Kansas City got by their first quarter doldrums and just made sure the score stayed where it was and made sure they put Big Ben out of his misery. Look, I like Big Ben as a player, not as a person, but you know what? Kudos to Big Ben. He went out on top in the playoffs, gave it his all. Hey, he had a good career. You can't knock it, but Kansas City's moving on, and I think they knock off, you know, but we'll see. But I think they'll go in the right direction, so Kansas City did what they needed to do to move on.
Yeah, and Big Ben did have a long career, and he spent it with one franchise, which is what I like. And I agree with my co-host Buddy Andrade on Sunday mornings, and we talked about how he's embedded in that city. So you can say what you want off the field stuff. I don't agree with it either. Maybe he's learned from it. It seems like he has. But that's always going to be a albatross hanging over his head, as well as it should be in some realms. But he's with the Pittsburgh Steelers, embedded in the community, spent, what, 18 years with them? I'm not going to fault that. We see players, hey, Tom Brady's with another team. The guys who play longevity and Hall of Fame-like careers, especially at the quarterback position, they always seem to move on at some point. And he didn't, so kudos to him. The Rams 34, Arizona 11. I'm just going to say this. This game's more about Arizona to me. JC, I'm really concerned if I'm the Cardinals about the psyche of one Kyler Murray. He hasn't been right since that Rams game on, what is it, December 13th, I think, and he's had happy feet since. He's looking at, he's like in the pocket, he's not looking for receivers, taking his eye off, looking at the players coming in and defenders. The Rams had a number on that game, not him that game. He's in the same sense. If I'm the brass of the Cardinals, I'm a little worried about his head. JC, your thoughts coming out of that game?
Yeah, I mean, you start making plays like Carson Wentz in the end zone and, you know, handing teams, you know, 6 points in a playoff game. You just can't have that. And, you know, is not having DeAndre Hopkins that much of a hindrance to Murray? I mean, they went out and got him. You know, Zach Ertz on the other side as a tight end, never used him in that game. And it just again, we're looking at Cliff Kingsbury with another demise, you know, come December and January. And if you're the Cardinals ownership, you have to take into account the guy has never won in the second half of seasons. And, you know, I don't want the guy to be fired or anything, but, I mean, it's something you have to take a long look at because this team, it's now for you. I mean, you know, you've got that stud quarterback. You know, you hear the rumors, oh, he wants to go play baseball now. That's ridiculous. He's not moving, you know. But maybe you take a breath and you say, okay, maybe you take an approach like the Rams and say, let's load up again. I know you got Hopkins. You got, you know, J.J. Watt. Maybe you get to keep adding like the Rams did. But, I mean, that division's stacked. When you're talking about the Seattle Seahawks being the dormant of the NFC West, I mean, that's an uphill climb when you're talking about trying to be competitive with the Rams and the Niners who are ascending. You know, maybe you hope that the 49ers screw it up, trade away Jimmy G, and go to Trey Lance, and he can't get it done. So maybe that you're only competing against the Rams next year. But, you know, as much as we, you know, everyone loved the Cardinals, and we had said it all year long, they're on top, but wait, wait, wait. And the shoe eventually drops for them, and they have to take a long, hard look at that.
Well, all I can say, one word describes the Cardinals in that last game, soft. Because before that, Matthew Stafford looked like pick six. A.J. Green had a pass, and they got knocked. He got knocked into next week and dropped the pass. A little mental toughness, a little toughness. He would have caught that pass, would have held on to it long enough, and they would have had a first down, and they never would have had that pick six down there in the end zone on that third in. What was like six yards to go. They didn't show the mental toughness, and it starts with the quarterback. You need a quarterback to show the mental toughness. They haven't showed it in the last 3 years of his career, first 3 years of his career, of what they can do in the second half of the season, especially the last 5 weeks of any given season. They're going to reevaluate, look at themselves, and see what they need to get tougher, because I just don't see toughness on that team. I just see a soft team. And that's not going to get them anywhere.
No, with the collapse the past 3 years down the stretch, not collapse, I guess, but the lack of the winning percentage has gone considerably down. And we talked about that ad nauseum a couple of podcasts ago about how they faltered. And that 3 years becomes a trend after a while, and that's a little scary because players and coaches, I think that it's in the back of their minds when it approaches that time of year. We'll see how they deal with it next year. But kudos to Matt Stafford. He gets his first playoff win. Arizona is 1-8. In their last nine against the Rams, and the Rams have a 173-point differential versus the Cardinals under head coach Sean McVay, and they're moving on, and the Cardinals are not. Quick 30-second break, guys, and we'll come back and we'll start the slate of this weekend's games, if you don't mind. This is the Going Old School Show. Chips, Crow, and Joe here for you. Be back shortly.
Hey, Boston. This is Sean Thornton. I might not be suiting up in the black and gold anymore, but my fight for Parkinson's and cancer research, advocacy, and support is still going strong. Through my foundation, I continue to be a protector for those in need and give back to a community that's given so much to me. Please consider joining my team and visiting thorntonfoundation.org or e2gsports.com for more information on getting involved, making a donation, and joining the fight.
This message supports the Boston Children's Hospital and the American Parkinson's Disease Association.
Chips, Crow, and Joe here for you on blogtalkradio.com live at 7:17 p.m. Eastern Time on this Wednesday, January 19th of the year 2022. We're the E2G Sports Network, part of the Unsung Sports Grid. And without further ado, we're going to move on to this weekend's games before we get into some wrestling, because the guys, I missed out on my wrestling. I haven't been in touch, so I'm going to go into the classroom and find out what's going on from JC and Joe in the world of the squared circle. But let's start off with the Saturday 4:30 p.m. game. Cincinnati goes to Tennessee. JC, Tennessee, the number one seed, coming off the bye. Your thoughts? How does this shake out to you? Derrick Henry going to be back? Going to be interesting? JC, talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, does Tennessee have a little rust on them after the bye week? Is Henry, going to be available? I would think that he would at least try to give it a go because, you know, he went all this way to come back, kind of like J.J. Watt did, you know, Monday night. Hopefully Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans, hopefully they have a little bit more luck than Watt and the Cardinals did. But, man, I so want the Cincinnati Bengals to walk into Tennessee and come out of Nashville with a victory. It's probably
yep.
the one thing that I want this divisional weekend to happen out of all the games. Sure, I would love to see some other things happen. But for an organization who's been so downtrodden for so long, they finally got some pizzazz, some excitement. You know, they had the sarcasm game on after the game with Taylor and then with Joe Burrow. Did you hear the whistle?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't hear any whistle. Nice shades on. They got some swagger. As a guy with no dog in the fight the rest of the way, that's what I want to see. That gravitates me towards this game. And, you know, it seems like Cincinnati, when they got those moments against Baltimore away, you know, against Pittsburgh away, they rose a little bit. So maybe go on the road, because you're right, Tish, when we're talking about the Raider game, they came out so well, and then they lulled in the red zone. And you just can't do that against Tennessee, who can make that game a little bit shorter and make it so, you know, Ryan Tannehill only has to make three or four big throws a game. And that's what Cincinnati is going to have to do with their pass rush. You know, see if they can get it done and make most of the game on Tannehill's shoulders, because when that happens, you have a better chance to win if you're the Bengals.
So, look, as much like Cincinnati, it's like I'd love to see Tennessee win for a guy who was at his house when I went down to Tennessee, Floyd Reese. Just, I'd like to see Tennessee win. I think they will win because I don't think Cincinnati is totally healthy on the defensive line. And they tend to, they're okay, defense not great. And I think even without Derrick Henry, Tennessee can run the ball. Enough passes from Tannehill to move the ball. I see this as a game where Tennessee will control the line of scrimmage. And look, I'm looking at a one-score game, and I'm looking at Tennessee winning a close one. As much as I'd love, well, I'm with you, JC, as much as I'd love to see Cincinnati win because it's been so long, I just think Tennessee's going to win this game.
JC, I know you have predictions coming out later on your blog. Do you care to do that now? And if you don't want to, I can certainly move on.
Oh, no, I'm picking the Bengals. There's no question.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. I'm going to break the tie one way or the other, but here's the one thing, and I'm going to start off. Titans are 5-9 all-time in the division around, and they are, I can't remember a number one seed that's less talked about than the Tennessee Titans. Part of it is because of Derrick Henry experience, and I get that. But, you know, and the Bengals have won three or four, the last four in the series. I get that. A player that Cincinnati needs and a player that could control a game on their defense, and I've talked ad nauseum about him, is Trey Hendrickson, the defensive lineman, the edge rusher. Because when he's on the field, the Bengals have a 43.5 pressure rate. When he's off, it drops to 9.1. And that's what you need. You need a guy to get back into the backfield, get into Tannehill's face, and maybe disrupt and get around the edge because he can do it quickly and get to a guy named Henry. I'm rooting for the Bengals. I think the Titans are going to win. But, Casey, I want to talk to you about this. You talk about chemistry on teams. Deonta Foreman has had a nice year. 689 scrimmage yards, 566 rushing, 123 receptions. He's kind of kept that offensive flow in the backfield without D. Henry there. Is there any chance, JC, and Joe, you can weigh in on this if you like, that Derrick Henry's presence, and I don't think he'll get a full load, but we know he was the go-to guy. He was the focal point of that offense when he left. Is there any way his return could disrupt an offensive chemistry with what they've had to do since he's been out, JC?
I don't think so. I think they're smart enough, and they know where their bread is buttered. They know if this team's going to go any place in the playoffs, that it's got to be on Derrick Henry's back, you know, whether he's fully healthy or not. You know, they have to get that done. And as we've seen, you know, in past playoff games where we see Henry get the ball early, doesn't get it done, then they adjust. And I think that's what we'll see on Saturday, is that, you know, if Henry is out there, you're going to see a lot of him early and see just what he has, because there's no sense waiting. There's no sense waiting until you're down, because against that Cincinnati offense, it can come fast. So you can't delay to see what you've got. So, you know, we'll see, you know, what he does in practice for the next, you know, couple of days. Obviously Thursday's the big day because the game's on Saturday. Friday's going to be a walkthrough.
Yep.
But just to see how his body feels after multiple days. It's now been, what, about 8 days that he's been practicing? So it'll be interesting. I hope he plays, because this is where you want your stars to perform. And, you know, the
right.
NFL is better when Derrick Henry's back in.
Well, Joe, give me your thoughts on chemistry.
I think the chemistry is fine. Look, put it this way. He's not playing unless he's basically 100%. It's like, look, if he would – I don't see Vrabel playing him if he's going to – be a detriment to the team. and detriment to the chemistry. He's in there. He's your star. I say yes. It's like, well, I'm with JC. If they don't try in the first quarter. If it's not, then they'll go to Foreman and they'll switch off. But, you know, they're going to at least try it. And if not, then, you know, the next man up mentality will rule. And I don't see it hurting the chemistry because, you know what, you play your best plays. This is what the games are for. The playoffs are for. You play your best plays, give the team a chance to win. I don't see it ruining the chemistry.
I agree. If anything, it may provide a luxury to have more weapons than you need, or an added weapon, I should say, with both of them in the backfield, and you're able to kind of pick and choose where you're going to run them. But, you know, you're talking about the last time these two teams met in the playoffs, the Titans were known as the Houston Oilers, and that was January 6th of 1991. So that tells you they can exercise another demon. It's pretty interesting, this game. 8-0 Tennessee is in games following 9 or more days rest in the Mike Vrabel era. So if history is any trend, it bodes well for the Titans. Let's move on. 8:15 p.m. that same night, the San Francisco 49ers go to Green Bay to take on the 1 seed, San Francisco the 6 seed. Contrast of playoff quarterbacks, Jimmy G is 20-6 on the road as a starter in his career, second highest winning percentage since 1970. Aaron Rodgers is 11-9 as a playoff starter. He is 7-8 since winning the Super Bowl in 2010. JC, interesting quarterback comparison there. Everyone's talking about Green Bay. Can they be beaten at home? Aaron Rodgers, a lock for MVP of the league. How do you see this one shaking out? What are some keys, JC?
Yeah, I mean, it's Jimmy G's shoulder and his thumb. That's kind of where it resides for me.
Yep.
With San Francisco. As excited as I am for them, we saw in that second half where he just wasn't himself. And he said he dinged up his shoulder in that second half. So you get him in the cold and Green Bay, and, you know, it's a pain issue. And as we saw with him here in New England, wasn't really the toughest of guy in those situations. So I kind of, as much as I would love to see the 49ers back in the NFC Championship game, I think the Packers, with so much firepower and they're getting healthier. Bakhtiari had a little more practice today. That'll be a huge help for that offensive line to get it going for Jones and for Dillon. And anytime you go up against Davante Adams, listen, they're not going to, you know, the Packers will throw it to Adams, throw it to Adams, throw it to Adams, throw it to Adams. Not what the Cowboys did, where they didn't force the issue. Troy Aikman had a spot on today. On his interview, you know, just killing Prescott and Lamb and Cooper over not just doing the simple things. I'm open, throw me the ball. Aaron Rodgers will get you the ball ad nauseum. And when you have Davante Adams, Lazard, and Cobb will be back for another option, I think it's too much. Too much Green Bay. Too much. And with Rodgers, the way he's been all year, where he kind of wants people to think he's leaving. I don't think he's leaving, but he wants people to think he's leaving. So he's got that added incentive to get that second Super Bowl. So I got the Packers Saturday night.
Thank you, Joseph.
Jason, I'm with you on this one. I think the Packers will win. It's like, look, as much like the 49ers, everybody's picking the 49ers because it's like, you know, they're the hot team. They'll match up well. Aaron Rodgers got too many weapons. He's not going to pull a Dak Prescott. He's going to get, like JC said, he's going to find his open receivers. He's going to use them, and they're going to run the ball when they need to. And I think the defense just does enough to stop the 49ers. And Jimmy G, I don't know how healthy he is. We'll find out. But, you know, it's not going to help if it's cold. And it's like, I just like the Green Bay Packers in this game.
Yeah, the Packers are my pick as well. And they haven't won a playoff game versus the 49ers since the 2001 wild card round with the quarterbacks of Brett Favre and Jeff Garcia. But, yeah, and ironically, the Packers can become the first NFC team since the Niners in 2011 through 2013 to make 3 straight NFC championship games. JC, is Matt LaFleur one of the most – I mean, are we not talking enough about him? Because if they win Sunday, it's his third consecutive championship game. And, oh, by the way, he's won 39 regular season games in 3 seasons. Is Matt LaFleur the real deal as a head coach, in your opinion, JC? And, Joe, you can follow it up as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's got it going on. And, hey, it's easy when you have Aaron Rodgers, you know, to kind of, you know, lead the way offensively. But he tweaked them a little bit. He's gotten the most out of them when Mike McCarthy couldn't. So kudos to him for that. And, you know, his second act will be the proof of the pudding over whether he can get Jordan Love to play at a higher level than what we've seen so far. You know, that's where he ultimately will be judged on, because kind of like what Belichick has to face, people will say no matter how good you are, you had a stud at quarterback. You should have won. So, and I think that's where Green Bay has always fallen, where kind of like the Colts, where you probably should have won a couple more Super Bowls, but you didn't.
Yep.
So the pressure's on them, that second Super Bowl. And when you see the Rams finally get a win for Matthew Stafford the other night, pressure's off him, boys. Pressure is off Matthew Stafford. So
yep.
I know we're going to get to the Rams next, but it's going to be an interesting weekend for those Rams.
Joe, you care to comment?
Look, if you make three straight NFC championship games, you can't say he's a bad coach, because it doesn't matter what you've got for a team, you got to get there. You got to beat the teams in front of you. If he wins again this Saturday night, the three straight, give him his kudos. He just, you know, he's made it there, so he's like, he's done a good job for him, you know. I think he's a good coach. Nothing wrong with that. It's like, name any other coach that's gotten a three straight NFC championship game.
Yep.
So give him kudos to it.
Agreed. And so that's a Saturday slate. Let's move on to the aforementioned Rams, JC, as they travel to Tampa Sunday at 3:30 kickoff approximate time. And this is a real toss-up. A lot. Rams are a flavor of the week as well, but they can go into Tampa and make some havoc. It's about the health of Tampa Bay. But this has a lot of interesting storylines. Brady, they scored 30-plus points in all five playoff games with Brady, but missing Wirfs and maybe the center as well. It could bode, even if they're not 100%. We've seen Tom Brady, JC, when teams get him up the middle, he tends to fold a little bit and kind of have a little happy feet. And he's not the same quarterback as well. He's a lot less effective than that. This Rams team has a chance to go into Tampa and do something special, JC. Your thoughts?
Yeah, totally agree. And, you know, they have the blueprint. They faced them twice in 2 years. One is with Tampa. Beat them both times. You know, beat them down there. Beat them in L.A. early in the year. And, you know, they do have the blueprint. And with Jensen and Wirfs, you know, dinged up a little bit, you know, Donald and Miller and Jalen Ramsey on the blitz, you know, it's they know what to do. Blitz to blitz to blitz. But be careful, because here's what the Rams can do. They can rush with 3 and 4, their secondary. I know it's beat up a little bit and had to bring Eric Weddle back from retirement. But they don't have to blitz as much, and they know Brady is going to be prepared for the blitz. But as you pointed out, Chips, middle, that's where Brady struggles. He gets fearful. He doesn't like to be hit. This is how he's been sticking around until he's 44, to be 45 later this year. And I just wonder, you know, why is it all of a sudden in the last week we hear all these stories about this could be the last game for Brady? Where is that coming from? Where are those whispers coming from that are putting that out to the likes of Schefter and everybody out there? Because we've never heard that, oh, we just said he's going to play to the age of 45. Well, I always inferred and thought that meant playing in that season when he was 45. I don't know about you guys, but that's what I've always thought. And, you know, if he's kind of putting it out there to kind of lay it out there that maybe this could be the last one, you know, just to, you know, put that seed out there, I don't know. But if it's true, then soak it in, because this is the last game you're going to see Tom Brady this year of the 2021 season, because the Rams are coming out of Tampa with a win.
Love it. Coach Joseph.
I'm with you on that one, JC, because I don't see the Rams blitzing at all. Maybe five or less blitzes, because as we all know with Tom, as the Giants blueprint shows, if you rush three or four guys and can get to them up the middle, you don't need the blitz. And with their secondary the way it's banged up, if they can get away without blitzing, that's even more especially seeing that Tom doesn't have all the weapons. Leonard Fournette will be back this week, but if you get double covered Gronk and Evans, those are the two guys you got to take away, and you can get to them with three or four guys rushing. That's the chemistry, that's the blueprint to win against Tom, because he hates any kind of pressure up the middle. He loves to manipulate the pocket and move the pocket, and he won't be able to if he gets pressure up the middle. So I see the Rams winning this one. I see Rams winning by 10 or more.
And, you know, Brady has won 9 straight divisional road games dating back to 2011, but this is where the injuries kept up. This is the guy. This is the guy. First of all, two guys. Matt Stafford this year versus the Blitz was unbelievable to the tune of a 136.9 passer rating. Tampa blitzes on 38% of the downs. So you do the math. That could bode well for the Rams right there. And one, Matt Stafford did get that monkey off his back last week, JC. See what you want about how they won and the ineptness of the Arizona Cardinals. But we've seen Von Miller do damage to this Patriot team led by Brady in the past, and this is why they got Von Miller, and it's going to show in this game. He is going to wreak havoc. He is going to be in the backfield. He is licking his chops to get to number 12, and if he gets in Brady's head early, and I think he will, they may not even need as much pressure up the middle, because that's going to, you're going to beat him from the outside. And like the Giants did in the Super Bowls, if you can defend outside on those perimeters and still put pressure up the middle, that bodes well against a Tom Brady-led offense. I like the Rams, too. Something tells me that Brady's going to pull a rabbit out of his hat, but I just the injuries are just too much to overcome. And, JC, you made a good point. Play until he's 45. He's in his 45th year of existence. And where there's smoke, there's fire, JC, with that, with his retiring. I heard Ninkovich say it this morning. When you hear stuff about this, and maybe he doesn't want to go on that tour that Ben Roethlisberger did, it's coming out now. Someone's leaking that out, and I think there's more fuel to that fire. And I think you're right, JC, and we got to really appreciate what Brady's doing, because I think it's going to be his last game there as well.
Yeah, and it just seems odd to me for a guy who, you know, has been on this path for so long for it to come out and leak against a team that could actually beat him this week. And so he can play as long as he wants. He is still a top two quarterback in this league. So, you know, maybe there's something out there personally, health-wise, whatever. You know, we'll soak it in this weekend. But, you know, on the other side, I think the Rams had a you know, kind of a exhaling breath on Monday night. And I think it's going to be Matthew Stafford, and you saw what he did with Odell Beckham, getting him involved, Cooper Kupp. I mean, it's fabulous, obviously. And you get Akers and that three-headed monster with Michelle and Henderson. They have so many weapons. And when you're not expected to win, watch out for McVay, because dude's freaking genius offensively. So it'll be interesting to see what he comes up with for Tampa this Sunday.
Just the leak that says Brady's not playing is Giselle. There's your leak. I guarantee it. She's letting this out somewhere along the line. Get it to the right people to be out there to get it. Because it's like, let's be serious. She calls the shots in that family. Whether people like to hear it or not, she calls the shots with that. So I see the Rams, like I said, but 10 plus points and getting a Tom. And look, injuries have caught up to Tampa. I said at the beginning of the year, you got to stay healthy. They haven't stayed healthy in the back four. The offensive line may be the detriment of Tom because they're not healthy. He doesn't have Godwin. It's caught up to him. It's caught up to the team.
Yep.
The healthiest teams win. The Rams, like you said, DC, may have had a nice exhale going, oh, we got past the first round. All right, now let's go. And it's like, you know, and Stafford needed that win more than anybody else out there, and that may be just the boost he needed.
Yeah, and Brady's legacy won't be tarnished, even if they do exit this Sunday. But one thing is, maybe he's realizing this, guys, and we walked into Tampa that had a lot of talent, and he's realizing now that, you know,
his legacy cemented where it's going to be. He's not going to go anywhere else at 45. I mean, Tampa's going to be his last team. You would think. I'd be shocked. And even if he goes out with a loss on Sunday, maybe thinking to himself, you know what? And spending time with the family is good. Like you said, Joe, Giselle's in his ear, and she wants him home. His son's 15 already, for God's sakes. So it's family time. He's got a brand out. He's got life after football. It's all roses and petals for him as he moves on. But maybe he's seeing, guys, that, you know, he needs the talent around him to be successful. And, you know, he doesn't want to have – he doesn't know – even if he comes back to Tampa Bay next year, he doesn't know how much talent he's going to have around him, being 2 years removed from a Super Bowl. And maybe he's seeing that. And maybe it's he's kind of thinking, you know what, maybe I should just go and ride off into the sunset. So be that as it may, I think as football fans – pay attention to this and cherish every moment, because it may be you're looking at the Michael Jordan, the Babe Ruth of football. And even if you don't like the Patriots or don't like Brady, you have to enjoy the time spent watching him, because he was a transcending athlete in his sport. But we all like the Rams there too. So, but the last game, obviously closer to home for me, but this is whoever wins this game, I want to win the Super Bowl for various reasons. Buffalo Bills go to Kansas City in the 6:30 p.m. final game of the weekend. Chiefs are the 2 seed, averaging 32 points per game in postseason under Pat Mahomes. JC, Buffalo Bills are 0-3 on the road in the playoffs under Sean McDermott. On contrast, 3-0 at home. How do you see this one shaking out, JC? I know you've hinted about it, but you're going to give us our pick now, I know.
Yeah, I think it goes 0-4. And, you know, I see a lot of power rankings this weekend or this week that, you know, have the Buffalo Bills ranked as high as number 2. Behind the Packers in the NFL. And I'm sorry, maybe it's because we know the team that they've just beaten, the Patriots, so well.
Yeah.
I'm just not inflating them that much that they can go into Arrowhead. And I know they want to avenge their, you know, playoff loss, but it lines up very well for the Chiefs. They want to avenge the Sunday night thrashing they got the hands of the Bills earlier this year. They want to prove to them that they can get back to an AFC championship game and make it to a third straight Super Bowl and, you know, get this thing rolling, especially after a 3-4 start for them, which everyone had pretty much, you know, most of the pundits just said, oh, it put them off to the side here. Let some other teams rise to the top. And they've got it around. And as Andy Reid said, hey, when you want that second piece of chocolate cake, you just go after it. Right? And I think that's exactly what the Chiefs are going to do. On Sunday night, they're going to grab that second piece of chocolate cake, maybe have 2 glasses of milk, and say, hey, they're going to be hosting the Cincinnati Bengals next week.
Look, they couldn't keep up offensively against the Bills. This is the Pat Mahomes-led Chiefs. They are more than likely going to be keeping up but passing up the Buffalo Bills on the offensive side of the ball. And no matter what Josh Allen, he's going to feel pressure to need to score, not score at will and, like, run up the score. No, he's going to need to keep up with the Chiefs, because the Chiefs have proven now that they can 9, 10, 11 play drives and not screw it up. Or they can still strike you quickly with a 2-3 play drive. So I got the Chiefs, and I got the Chiefs winning handily, not just winning. 2 touchdowns or more beating the Bills, because the Bills are still living in the moment of knocking off the throne off the Patriots, and I don't think their head's going to be in the game enough. I don't see it happening. I see the Chiefs reminding the Bills who's in charge of the AFC.
And it's going to be interesting, too, because, yeah, 5th meeting all time between the Bills and the Chiefs in the playoffs. Each winner eventually lost the Super Bowl. Be that as it may. But, JC, you made a good point. And the Chiefs have a chip on their shoulder, because they realize, and we talked about it, and you made reference to it, at 3-4, they were being written off. Talked about not making the playoffs. Is Pat Mahomes the same quarterback? The defense is horrible again. Are we going to need to make changes? Is Kelce long in the tooth? They're throwing their arms up on defense, frustrated, game plans, playground football, what you will. They're using that chip on their shoulder. Right to this day, I follow the Chiefs on a lot of the social stuff. There's a lot of mic'd up practices that I've been privy to on some online stuff, and there's a little snippet to that, you know, the disrespect card. And with a team that talented feeling disrespected, it's a dangerous combination, my friend. I like the Chiefs as well. Soft spot for the Bills, but I think the Chiefs will ride their way to victory. I think their defense comes up big, and you're going to learn a lot about both teams. And, Jill, like you said, we're going to learn about the Bills. Are they still trapped in that game last week and kind of basking in the glow of being the AFC East Division champions? We're going to find out. But I think Kansas City at home gets it done in the playoffs, and it should be good. That's probably my most exciting matchup, and I think it's more anticipated. Got to wait till Sunday. But, again, I like the Chiefs in this game as well. But we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, the classroom is going to consist of the squared circle. John and Joe are going to take me into the classroom because I've been a little out of the loop on the things going on in wrestling. JC, got some thoughts on Royal Rumble, some of the throwbacks coming back, but we're going to come back and talk a little wrestling. This is the Going Old School podcast on blogtalkradio.com. Be back after this.
Hey, Boston. This is Sean Thornton. I might not be suiting up in the black and gold anymore, but my fight for Parkinson's and cancer research, advocacy, and support is still going strong. Through my foundation, I continue to be a protector for those in need and give back to a community that's given so much to me. Please consider joining my team and visiting ThorntonFoundation.org or E2GSports.com for more information on getting involved, making a donation, and joining the fight.
This message supports the Boston Children's Hospital and the American Parkinson's Disease Association.
Joe Crow and yours truly, Johnny Sunships, here for you for another 10 or 12 minutes here on blogtalkradio.com. We're going to go into the classroom and bring in the squared circle. These guys know more wrestling than I've – you guys have forgotten more wrestling than I even know. So, JC, start us off. I know keep us up to date on WWE, a big night tonight in AEW, and some of the old-timers coming back for the Royal Rumble, like Trish Stratus.
Yeah, I mean, we'll start with AEW because that is happening tonight in about 14 minutes. And it's the return of Jon Moxley. He went into rehab, and this will be his first foray back into AEW, and I know that AEW wasn't that happy that he had already booked a match in GCW coming up soon, so they wanted to get him back on television first to make sure they get their dibs into him because, you know, he's everywhere. But good for him. Hopefully he comes back and reignites a nice feud for himself coming back. But AEW's been stacked the last couple of weeks, and CM Punk is back on the show tonight, and I don't know. I think they're kind of repeating themselves with CM Punk and MJF and rehashing the old labors from the Chris Jericho feud. So I hope they get a little bit more creative with CM Punk starting tonight. But what do you think of them so far, Joe?
Look, I like it. I don't like when they keep rehash matches over and over again. It's like it gets boring. It's like keep on using your talent, using more talent. But I heard, I can't think of the name, but I heard something asked for their WWE release today. And it's like, I can't believe Mustafa Ali is looking to get released from the WWE.
Yeah, another one that wants to go out because he wanted to do a few things. And, of course, Vince said no. And, you know, unfortunately, it's Vince's way or the highway, and he's joining a long laundry of lists of people who are so talented, so creative, and, you know, he wants to do some things socially with injustices around the world, and he'll get that done. I really like what he brought to the table, and unfortunately, until Vince, you know, gets out of the way, this is how it's going to be. They're going to be cookie cutter as to the whim of Vince McMahon every week, and they're just not going to be as good as they could be, you know. You know, Lesnar and Reigns are great, but you got to have more
help
than that.
Yeah. Hey, I got a question. Brian Danielson, like, rumors have it, you know, they let him wrestle other, like, independent circuit, unlike WWE, but they're trying to delay Brian Danielson because he wants to wrestle in the area where AEW really hasn't been to yet, huh? So what's your opinion on that, JC?
Yeah, I mean, they want to hold him back. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, but guys like Danielson, this is why he came to AEW, so he could do that, face new people, but also go to New Japan, go to Mexico, go to places where he can just make these one-off matches. Because for him, it's not really about the feuds and the storyline. The dude just wants to wrestle really good, really long matches, because he knows in a year it's going to be over. So you got to maximize what he can bring to the table. I mean, the two matches he had with Hangman Page were fabulous. But, you know, now he's just kind of off to the side, and, you know, now there's rumors that, you know, the personalities behind the scenes are getting at each other. Cody Rhodes doesn't have a contract, not that he's going anywhere, but the Young Bucks, they have their own thing going. And those are the types of things that you hear from the WWE that kind of brings them down. And you would hate for AEW to be in that mode already, because they are the alternative. They're supposed to be fresh. And when you hear things like Tony Khan says, everything must go through me, well, isn't that exactly what you're trying not to copy from the WWE, where everything goes through Vince? It's like you want to have this collaborative effort, and it just seems like they're kind of bringing that down a little bit.
And it's tough to be Cody Rhodes, who the fans want to turn on him in the worst way, but he won't turn heel, and he's and it's just weird. How can you be a free agent when you own the company? It's like, you own the company, but you're a free agent. You only can play that up so much. It's like, you know, before fans are like, get the hell out of here. You own the company. Sign yourself. It's like, but he really, they've made him to be a heel, but he refuses to turn a heel because he's got Arn Anderson. And sooner or later, they're going to have to go to what the fans want, because that's why the fans are going to AEW. They want the new stuff. They want fresh stuff. They don't want the same old lack of creative storytelling. And it's been well so far, but now it's catching up to them, whereas, like, this Wardlow feud, this Wardlow tease has been going on forever. So you got to make a decision soon, because it gets old quick.
Yeah, and, you know, he's got to have a little Cena into him, where Cena, he embraced the both sides of being a face and being a heel at the same time. It's like, do whatever you want with me, but I'm still here. Embrace it. And Cody Rhodes just doesn't, you know, feels like he's above that. You know, hey, if you can turn Hulk Hogan heel, then you can turn anybody heel.
Right.
And I get John Cena is a little bit different, just because the dude has made more make-a-wish, you know, wishes than
right.
anybody on the face of the planet. So you kind of can't make him a full-blooded heel, but he embraced it enough so it mattered to the fans that wanted to boo him.
And, well, he'd go out there and say, all right, you want to boo me, fine. You paid your money, boo me, I don't care. If you want to cheer me, cheer me. It's like, but he'd make it clear that, look, you paid the money. You have the right to do what you want. Whereas Cody Rhodes feels these fans, like you said, sometimes you feel like he thinks he's above it all, and he's not. And it's like, so, no, besides him, and I'm with you, like with the Young Bucks, you got to figure out what you're going to do with them already, because now all of a sudden you got Adam Cole getting reunited with the guys that he was with at NXT, and you're leaving the Young Bucks out to hang, which, to be honest with you, they're one of the best tag teams in AEW, and you can't just like leave them out to hang. You got to do something with them, because they are very, very talented wrestlers.
Yeah, I mean, they're great in the ring. I just don't like them personally, just because of who they are. They're just so smug. I just don't like them. But, you know, they're great in the ring. And, you know, when we get back to, you know, what Chips was talking about with the Rumble coming up for WWE, you know, you got Lita coming back. You know, you've got Michelle McCool coming back. You got Mickey James coming back as the Impact Knockout Champion. And it's going to be interesting, but the rumors out there that there's going to be a very big surprise from outside the organization on the men's side, I wonder who that could be.
Bubba Ray and Devon? Come on. We know the 3D being used by the Usos. You're going to have a Bubba Ray going, Devon, get me a table. It's going to happen again. Oh, except wait, they did it with Bubba Ray, and who the hell they do it with? Oh shit, the guy that had the 24/7 championship. They did it with him because Devon didn't show up. So it was like, fans ate it up. Look, some old school guys like that, fans love, and you know there's always one or two guys that show up, and they're the fill-ins, so they get the old school guys and they come in and replace them. Hey, hopefully it's a good one, but Vince's creative team hasn't shown enough creativity in the last 6 months to, like, because where's the Scottish Warrior? It's like, you know, you buried him. Is Naomi going to win a championship with Sonya? Are they finally going to freaking give her a championship, which she so deserves because she's one of the best wrestlers of the women's division? It just goes under the radar.
True. And it's so weird. Sometimes they'll blow off stuff in a bit of a hurry and just think you'll forget it. Other things, they drag on forever and ever, like this Naomi and Sonya Deville feud. And, you know, I just don't think they know what they want to do. And it makes me worried for WrestleMania, for such a big event over two nights, 100,000 people each night that's trying to get. You wonder if they have a defined view of where that should be, because usually in years past, that card has been pretty much put together 6 months previous. And we're sitting here in the mid-January, and I just don't think they have any idea where they want to go with it.
Oh,
hey, guys,
agree.
Can I butt in for a minute? What's the Johnny Knoxville angle? Question for both of you. What's the Johnny Knoxville angle with the WWE and the Royal Rumble?
It's got a movie coming out. That's
so
it.
It's like, you know.
It is supposed to be mainstream publicity. That's it.
Also, the only thing that's really getting sticked in is, hey, JC, hey, John Ahern, acknowledge me.
Oh, man.
It's getting tiresome. I know the Reigns has come a long way with his mic talk, but it's tough when you have two heels going at each other because the fans don't know who they want to cheer less.
Yeah, no doubt. And what makes it worse is you have him, they were in Boston last week, and he does the goodbye to the crowd, and he's all nice, and he's a baby face, talking about, you know, getting your vaccines and getting tested and all that stuff, and not exactly the type of thing you want from the top heel in the company.
True, but, you know, fans tend to still gravitate towards Reigns because of his cancer.
True.
You get a heartfelt feeling with that because they know he's had it, so it's like, you know. And look, I'd rather see him as a baby face than Lesnar, because Lesnar as a baby face, that sucks. No thank you. Nope. Well, no part of it.
Yeah, I just don't buy him, and, you know.
No, I just don't buy it.
He's funny. He's got some one-liners, but, you know, I just don't buy him as a baby face.
Well, I, for one, am looking forward to the Royal Rumble, and I thank both of you guys for getting me up to speed on what's going on in the wrestling. So, you know what I'm doing after the show? I'm going right to the TV and slipping on AEW, guys. But, hey, we're running short on time here. But, gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. JC, thanks for taking time out of your day. Thank the boss for me as well, and your family, Joe. Joe, do the same. It's always a pleasure, guys, having you on. I always enjoy this time we spend.
Thanks, boys. Enjoy the football this weekend.
Hey, JC, before we cut off, some co-host of mine bought me a Pirates T-shirt.
Yeah. Had you, man. Had you do that. If nobody knows a joke, I am 90% sure that my co-host, Joe Flynn, is a closet Pittsburgh Pirate fan. And once baseball starts, if and when it does, we're going to hop right on that bandwagon because this is the year he comes clean. Time to come out of that closet, Joe. It's okay. You'll feel better. Exercise those demons. But, guys, thank you very much for your time, John. Appreciate it, man. John, Joe, always a pleasure, man. Have a great day. Be safe, okay, man?
Have a good night, people.
All right, guys. Hey, thanks for listening live and on replay. BlogTalkRadio.com is where you find us live every week. E2G Sports Network. We are part of in the Unsung Sports Grid. I'd be remiss if I didn't say, guys, it's still a scary world out there. Day to day, do the right thing, wear your masks, and just be courteous of the people around you, and take care. And everybody, please, 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 be safe. We'll talk to you again next week.